إن الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل، فقد أمرنا الله تعالى بذلك في كتابه الكريم، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. ثم أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله, in researching this khutbah, I came across a story of a police officer in Saudi Arabia, a Muslim police officer, and because he dealt in traffic accidents, it became his path to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The officer writes that very often when there's a traffic accident and there's no time for the ambulance to come and they know the person's going to die, he said as a rookie officer, he, with his senior, they once came across an accident and they were on patrol, and these two cars, one of the cars had gone into the opposite lane with a dead-on, head-on collision, and of course in one of the cars were two youths, and in the other car they had found that the other person was dead. The two officers, they took the body of those youths one by one gently away from the car, and they sat there and they realized that they were going to die. And so the senior officer, who had experience with this, he took the advantage to help those youth say La ilaha illallah. And he would do the talqeen of shahada, saying softly to them, say La ilaha illallah, so that it would be the final words that they would say before they die. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man kana akhiru kalamihi La ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. Whoever's last words are La ilaha illallah shall enter paradise. And as he sat there, this officer, the junior, he said he saw something very horrific. And what it was is that those youth, every time they were told to say La ilaha illallah, all they would reply is, or they would continue to sing the song that they were listening to in the car. And they kept singing it, and they wouldn't acknowledge La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And you may have heard it in the past, and I've actually read this, and it's not something that just happens once and then it never happens again. In fact, today at our school, our Islamic school, Al-Huda, we had a police officer, a Muslim officer, who had converted or reverted to Islam during the Gulf War. He's now working as a police officer in Maryland. And I asked him this. I said, I'm going to do a khutbah today. Is this true? And he said, I swear by Allah that it's true. He said, I personally have seen people in their, right before they're about to die, saying that they're coming to get me, they're coming to get me. Some person would be taking his drugs and his alcohol and he's about to die during the war, and then he just gets up and starts screaming that they're coming to get me, they're coming to get me. And he's talking about the angels of death coming to him. And then he would lose his life. And he said, I've seen other people who on their last breath, in their last moments, they would say, Oh Allah, forgive me. And he would see Iraqi soldiers being killed. He saw Iraqi soldiers who were burned to a crisp, dead, and they were dead in sajda. He said they didn't want to fight, and they were pushed out to the fight. But he said that when the bombs came and they were killed, they went and did sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their lives were taken in those cases. And he said it is true. And people on their last moments, when their tongue is sealed, only their heart began speaking. And so these youth who didn't live the life of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, they didn't die upon it. And when it came down to what's in their heart, what came out were the songs that they were listening to. And believe me, if you take any song and you want to know whether music is halal or haram, just take the lyrics of the song. Don't even worry about the music behind it. But just listen to those lyrics and you'll know for yourself that it's wrong. Ubay ibn Khalaf was one of the kuffar in Mecca that used to challenge and hurt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ubay ibn Khalaf, you can say he was a scientist, or he claimed to be a scientist. He took a bone, his evidence, a rotted bone, and in front of everybody he confronted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he crushed the bone in his hand and let the wind blow away the dust of the bone. And then he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Do you claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring this dust back to life?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comments on what Ubay did. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hasn't man considered that we created him from a drop of semen? فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Yet he becomes an open adversary to the Lord that created him.
وضرب لنا مثلا ونسي خلقه قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم.
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he makes up something to be compared. He tries bringing an analogy. He brings this bone and he crushes it and he tries making the analogy.
وضرب لنا مثلا ونسي خلقه.
He said, he makes the analogy but he forgets his own creation.
وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِينَ.
He says, who will bring back the bones when they have become dust? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says back to him. And for those that think that the Qur'an is only for Muslims and that you can't argue with the Qur'an was revealed to people that did not believe in the Qur'an. And you will find your arguments there in the Qur'an. And everything that the people say today down the hallways of this university, you will see that the people, the kuffar of Quraysh, said the exact same things. The exact same things, and I'll show you what they said. The same issues. And in fact, you'd see that the kuffar of Quraysh may have been much smarter, and they brought more arguments than common people would today.
قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ.
Who will bring the bones back to life after they become rotten and dusted and dirt? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ.
Say, the same person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that brought that bone into existence the first time, that brought that bone into existence from nothing, and sha'aha awwal marra, that Allah is the one who's going to bring it back to life. And in fact, everybody knows to bring nothing from nothing, or to bring something from nothing is much harder than to bring something from something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing the bones to life, but He forgets His creation when He was nothing. This topic of, and inshallah we're going to be talking about regret. This topic, I was researching on the internet and I found a website where the author of the website, or the webmaster, he encourages those readers to write in their biggest regret of their lives. And going through, you know, samples of those regrets, you'll see people that their regrets never go beyond the dunya. Someone regrets a lost love. Someone else regrets a job that they missed out on. Someone else regrets, you know, some twist of fate that led to something bad and so on. But what I'd like to see is a website where dead people write their regrets. These are living people. People who don't know and don't believe in what's to come next. But if you bring a website and you interview all the dead people and you ask them, what was your biggest regret? What was your biggest regret? I don't even have to answer because we all know what their regret is. Ali radiallahu anhu, he stood at the grave and with him was a companion. And then he said to his companion, he said, if this person could write a regret letter, he didn't say that, but he said that if they had a chance to come back, what would they do? What would be their biggest regret? And his companion said, "Oh Ali, that they, radiallahu anhu, that they would do nothing except good deeds." they would change their lives, turn away from all the haram things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made haram on them. They now see the truth, they would turn their lives and they would do nothing but good deeds. And then Ali radiallahu anhu told him, he said, if it's not going to be them, then let it be you. If it's not going to be them, then not going to be him, then let it be you. And I tell you, dear brothers and sisters, the fact that you're sitting here listening, you have that chance. You have the chance to come back to life. That chance to come back and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem is that many people, and you'll see Orientalists have knowledge of Islam, even Shaitan has knowledge of Islam, but there are people that haven't allowed that knowledge to penetrate into their hearts. Now some Muslims have allowed that knowledge of the deen to penetrate their tongue, but that knowledge dropped its bags on the tongue and it didn't continue into the heart. And you will see that when the muharramat, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade, are cut and people transgress that, it's not that someone doesn't know the ruling. You will see that whenever the shaykh comes, you'll see that he's always saying haram, haram, haram. And I'll tell you why, because the people are asking questions about things they know that are haram. That it went into their hearts. And they realize that what they're doing is wrong. مَا حَاكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ That it keeps scratching away at their heart. They know it's wrong. That's why they're asking the shaykh. Maybe trying to find someone that won't say that it's haram. But that's why the haram questions come up. Because these are things that are scratching away at the person's heart. Now there are scholars and ulama of the past that allowed their iman to go beyond their tongue and to go into their heart. And Muhammad ibn Abi Imran rahimahullah narrates that his shaykh Hatim al-Assam was one of those people that reached that stage. And he asked him, how did you reach the stage of tawakkul ala Allah, reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he said that I became convinced in four things, i.e. that he allowed those four things to penetrate his heart. He said, one, he said, I'm convinced that no one is going to eat the provision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for me except me. Nobody else is going to eat it, no one's going to come and steal it from me. If Allah decreed that I'm going to have this food and this money, then I'm going to have it and no one can take it away. He said, so I'm satisfied and content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. And he said, two, I'm convinced that there's not a single person that's going to do good works on my behalf. So I'm convinced of this. So أَنَا فَأَنَا مَشْغُولٌ بِعَمَلٍ He said, so I am busy in doing the good works myself. And in fact, just a point here, you'll see that people, they have in their houses, they'll have the Qur'an divided into 30 parts. And I'm sure everyone has seen that. You'll have a Qur'an, a big stack of divisions, 30 parts, wrapped around in a beautiful cloth. And I ask you, why do you think it's divided into 30 parts? It's divided into 30 parts because when someone dies, they're going to bring it out and everybody's going to read Qur'an on his behalf. They're going to do good works on his behalf. And after that Qur'an khani is over, it gets wrapped up and continues to collect dust again. It's just a symbol that we've neglected the Qur'an and that we think that the Qur'an is only for the dead people. But nay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Qur'an for the living. He says, three, that I'm certain that death shall come unexpectedly. He says, I'm not going to get a warning 5 days before death is coming. Hey, death is going to come in 5 days, so you better prepare for it. He said, I know that's not going to happen. And so I'm waiting for the unexpected. And he said, and fourthly, I'm certain. And subhanAllah, one student, just this fourth point, if someone was to penetrate his heart with this point, if he would be able to move forward in his entire life towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, fourthly, and I am certain that I will never escape the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I am shy of him. And so I am shy of him. We all know that the media distorts facts, and all throughout, you know, the news media and so on, we see them taking things out of context. Every time a Muslim gives a speech, he just says one violent thing and they put it on the front page and it's at the front of the news and so on, even if his speech had nothing to do with that. And I'll tell you that many Muslims read the Quran like that. Whenever there's verses that talk about Jannah and beauty and mercy, it's for us, and the candies are for us. And whenever there's an ayah that talks about hellfire, or the Jews being Christian, or the Jews being cursed, or so on, it's always them. It's always them, and they did bad, and they did, and this doesn't apply to us, and so on. But that's not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing these verses to the Muslim, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you do what they did, your result will be the same result as them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا He says, say my servants who acted extravagantly. They kept doing haram and haram ala anfusihim. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't despair from Allah's mercy. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Innahu huwa al-ghafuru al-rahim. If you take this as your motto, many people will now take this out of context and then do whatever they want and do all the haram that they want, and then when they come to the end of their life, we had a nice trip, it was fun, we had all the fun that we wanted, now we're about to die, la ilaha illallah, and now comes the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This rahmah that Allah is talking about, now it comes. But that's taking it out of context. Many khatibs don't continue into the next verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and turn back to your Lord. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ In the day of judgment, not in the day of judgment. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ In fact, the verse إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِي وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ شَاءَ Allah forgives any sin in this dunya. But it's in the hereafter where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive the shirk. And here in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this mercy, this rahmah, and then continue the verse وَأَنِيبُ And come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ And surrender yourselves. When Allah says this is haram, then it means haram. Your hands get dropped and you surrender to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches something. This is the sunnah. This is authentic. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded. Our hands go down. Like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, إِنْ قَالَهَا فَقَدْ صَدَقْ When he heard about that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone to Masjid al-Aqsa and back in one night, he said right away, إِنْ قَالَهَا فَقَدْ صَدَقْ He didn't say, okay, let me check with him or so on. He said, if he said it, then he told the truth. And so all a person needs to do is if you hear a sunnah, if it is authentic, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the truth. وَصَدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيكُمُ الْعَذَابُ بَغْتَةً وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ He says, and turn back. This mercy is for those people that turn back and come back and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيكُمُ الْعَذَابُ بَغْتَةً That do this before the punishment comes to you unexpectedly. And the punishment will never come with a warning, but it will come unexpectedly. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ And you have no idea of the punishment that's going to come. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أَن تَقُولَ نَفْسٌ يَا حَسْرَتَا أَن تَقُولَ نَفْسٌ يَا حَسْرَتَا عَلَى مَا فَرَّطْتُ فِي جَنْبِ اللَّهِ وَإِن كُنْتُ لَمِنَ السَّاخِرِينَ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَن تَقُولَ نَفْسٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so that a soul should never say and never have to say, يَا حَسْرَتَا And this word in Arabic, subhanAllah, this word is just proof that you can't translate the Qur'an. You will see translations like someone saying, oh pity me, or someone saying that, alas my grief, or so on. But it can never, you can never imagine the power of, يَا حَسْرَتَا and I tried looking for the tafsir of Ya Hasrata. Ya Hasrata ala ma farattu fi jambillah. Ya Hasra. It's to be pitied, and that grief, and it's a horrific, tremendous, exorbitant grief and regret that the person is in. Ya Hasrata ala ma farattu fi jambillah. That all the laziness that I was in, and all the neglect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-Tahir ibn Ashur rahimahullah, he says that it's like fi jambillah, it's as if this is the master and the servant boy who's in charge of the sheep. He takes the sheep out to graze. And then when he goes out, he becomes lazy, and he starts playing, and he starts sleeping, and he leaves the sheep to do whatever he wants, saying that when I'm done my playing, I'll pick up my sheep and go home. But while he's neglectful of the sheep run here, and the sheep run there, and then a pack of wolves come, and they pick off one sheep after the other, while this boy is neglectful. And then at the end of the day, when he's finished having his fun, finished doing what he wanted, he turns to go find his sheep, and they've all been killed. All the sheep have been eaten alive. And he has to go back to his master now with no more sheep. Ya hasrata. That regret to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with nothing in our pockets, with no good deeds. On this line, Yahya ibn Mu'adh rahimahullah, he said, the most naive person in my eyes, and the most naive thing to do, is a person who continues to sin, continues to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no regrets. You'll see that every time he's reminded of Allah and the Day of Judgment and the Prophet, he just keeps doing the sin, and there's no regrets involved. And in fact, you may have even read the letter of a sister that had committed zina, and she said, I feel no regret in it. I committed zina, and actually I feel no regret for what I did. And she's a Muslim, grew up in a Muslim family. He said, the most naive person in my eyes is a person who continues in sin with no regrets, hoping that in the distant future that Allah is going to forgive him. Looking for the forgiveness of Allah in the distant future. And he said also, and to hope to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without doing anything. And how many Muslims are like that? That they hope that they want to come closer to Allah and come closer without doing a single thing. Zero. Nothing. Hoping that they're going to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, and the third most naive thing a person would do is to hope for the harvest of Jannah. Hope for the fruits and trees and rivers of Jannah by planting the seeds of hellfire. By planting the seeds of hellfire, waiting for reward without doing any deeds. The Shahib says, تَرْجُ النَّجَاةَ وَلَمْ تَسْلُكْ مَسَالِكُهَا. He says, you hope, or do you hope to be saved and salvation and forgiveness, and you haven't even walked down the road towards that forgiveness and that salvation? He said, إِنَّ السَّفِينَةَ لَا تَجْرِي عَلَى الْيَبَسِ. He said, brother, boats do not run in the desert. And just like boats don't run in the desert, similarly, all the sin doesn't end up in Jannah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. That police officer that we were talking about earlier, and he said that this incident, it had helped him to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but as time passed, he forgot. He says, until about 6 months later, and time passed, that another incident happened, and that had changed him for the rest of his life. And he narrates this incident that there was a young boy, a young adult, who was going on the outskirts of Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, and through one of the tunnels he had a flat tire, and so his car was handicapped to the shoulder, and as he turned around and went to get the spare tire from the back of his car, another car came whistling by from behind, from around the corner, and that had smashed into his car with the boy in the middle. and he became crushed. They were called to the scene, and immediately they saw the horrific collision that had taken place in the tunnel, and they blocked off the tunnel and they took the boy. And then he says that while we were carrying him, he had a different senior officer with him. He said that while we were carrying him, we heard him humming something, but in our effort to get him to the hospital quickly, we weren't paying attention to what he was saying. He says, but when we got into the car, they started understanding what he was saying, and the boy, in the most sweetest recitation, was reading the Qur'an. And he was reciting the Qur'an that he had memorized. The Qur'an that he had memorized in the car. And the officer said that, I've never heard a more beautiful recitation than that. And you have to realize that he's on his deathbed now. And he's going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a few moments. The only thing that came back to him was the life that he lived. The Qur'an that he learned, it came back to him and he started reciting. And the officer said that when I saw that, I was going to do my best to help him to say the shahada like I had seen my other brother try to help those other people say shahada. And then the recitation continued until it went quiet, and then he turned around and looked at the boy, and the boy had his hand raised to the heavens and he was saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He didn't need any help from someone. He knew it in his heart and he lived it, and he followed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him, and he followed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in those last moments it came out, and then he put his hand down and he had died and he stopped reciting. The officer, he started crying, but he tried hiding his tears, as he says, and then he told the driver, the other officer, that he had died. And then the other officer started crying, and he said when he saw his friend crying, he couldn't stop crying from the scene. And the entire scene was just so emotional. They took the boy into the hospital, and he was pronounced dead on arrival. They said that they would tell everybody, and they saw the two officers crying, and they told them what had happened to this boy. And then when they later on phoned the boy's home, and his brother had picked up the phone, they told him about the accident, and then their brother started telling them about this young adult, this young man. He says that his path, or where he was going out to, was a town where his grandmother lived, a qarya on the outskirts of Riyadh. And in this place, because it was poor, that there were many needy Muslims there. And so he would go to visit his grandmother every week, and he would make sure to visit the orphans in that town, and all the little children that were playing in the streets, he would make sure that he would spend time playing with them. And the entire town knew him, because he would bring Islamic books to them, and he would bring Islamic tapes and give dawah to those children. And then for the poor people, with his dusty Mazda, he would fill the back up with rice and with sugar and fill it up so that the poor people could share from the wealth of the people of the city. And people would try discouraging him from going out to do that. They would try discouraging him, saying that it's such a long trip out, and he would say, I don't mind the trip. He says, because it gives me a chance to review my Qur'an in the car. The chapters that he had memorized from the Qur'an, he would spend his time in the car reviewing that. He said, otherwise I would listen to an Islamic tape in the car on my way there and on my way back. This is how this brother lived his life, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to take his life, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought life to other people that followed and heard the story of this boy and saw his story and were guided because of him, inshaAllah ta'ala. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed forgiving. Is indeed forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ. And verily that I am all forgiven. In fact, the person who commits sins and commits sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ. That I continue to forgive and continue to forgive. But to whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ. That I'm all forgiving. لِمَنْ تَابَ. To those people who turn back to me. لمن تاب وآمن وعمل صالحا ثم اهتدى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed forgiving. لِمَن تَابَ, for those people who ask for that forgiveness. وَآمَن, and truly believe and allow that iman to come into their heart and not just on their tongue. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and do good deeds. So many people, they say when they're doing wrong, they say, brother, are you judging my intentions? Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala said, الْإِيمَانُ مَا وَقَرَ فِي الْقَلْبِ. Iman is something that lodges in the heart. It hooks onto the heart, وَصَدَّقَهُ الْعَمَلِ, and is proven by someone's outward appearance. It's proven by the actions that a person does outwardly. So it may be something incorrect when that iman doesn't reflect on the outside of a person, that maybe it hasn't truly lodged. Maybe someone doesn't understand, it hasn't lodged yet. But if it did lodge in the heart, then nothing could stop that person from practicing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger commanded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is announcing in the Quran on the words of His Prophet,
يَا قَوْمَنَا أَجِيبُوا دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ وَآمِنُوا بِهِ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ وَيُجِرْكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ.
O people, يَا قَوْمَنَا أَجِيبُوا دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ. Ajibu, respond. Just like you come home and you're answering machine and you pick it up and you respond to that phone call, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger are calling you. Ajibu, answer the call. Who's stopping you from committing sins? Who's stopping you from turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who's stopping you, and who's standing between you of a sincere tawbah? Who's stopping you? And if you now reflect on sins that are between you and Allah, and believe me, there's not a single person in here, including myself, that doesn't have sins between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just a speech for the sinful Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ بْنَ آدَمَ خَطَّى. He said, every single son of Adam makes mistakes and makes sins. Every single one. And in fact, sometimes the sin of the khatib would be more greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than someone else's sin. كُلُّ بْنَ آدَمَ خَطَّى وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. And that the best of those people who commit sin, that are always making sins, التَّوَّابُونَ, those people who turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the people, they say, أَنْتَقُولَ نَفْسٌ يَا حَسْرَتَا, so that a person will not say, oh alas, and grief on the Day of Judgment, أَوْ تَقُولَ لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هَدَانِي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Or it would say that had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me, I would have been those who are God-fearing. I would have been one of those good Muslims. How many people do you see now in these hallways that see, if Allah wanted to guide me, He would have guided me? And how many Muslims said that if Allah wants to guide me, one day I'll be guided? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the books. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messengers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the reminders. And Allah keeps knocking on the people's door, keep knocking, but they don't want to open the doors. And there's something wrong, just like you see when a car, it doesn't work anymore, and a clock, it doesn't work anymore, and you try fixing it, and you try fixing it, and you try fixing it, and the clock is asking, well, who's going to come and fix me? I need to be fixed. What happens when it doesn't want to fix itself? When the clock is, it doesn't fix anymore, you take it and you throw it in the trash. And what happens when a car isn't worth anything anymore? You throw it into the crusher. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those people that don't want to turn back and want to keep on spreading their evil, thinking that they're going to live forever, thinking that their money and their job is going to take them into paradise. كَلَّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ. Do you know what الْحُطَمَةِ means? It's hellfire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to use the word حُطَمَة, meaning the crusher. The crusher. الْحُطَمَة. نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةِ. The fire of Allah that is ignited. There's a verse in the Quran that when the shaitan had heard this verse, he started crying. And it's an open door for anybody to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ
That those people who commit a fahisha, an immorality, and the fahishas go on and on, أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ or do injustice to themselves. When you're sinning, brothers and sisters, you're doing injustice to your own body and to your own self because of the pain that you're going to go through if you don't turn back from this sin. أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ What do they do? ذَكَرُ اللَّهِ They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they remember the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that everything that you disobey and I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, Allah gave it to us. Allah gave us our eyes to commit zina with our eyes. If a person was to commit zina. And Allah gave us our hands that a person can do haram or do halal. And gave us the feet and gave us our entire body to either do good or to do wrong. أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ
They remember the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذَنُوبِهِمْ
So, and then they repent and ask Allah to forgive them.
وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ
SubhanAllah. And then Allah is asking the question, who else except Allah is going to forgive your sins? Who else is going to forgive your sins?
وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ
The person should have regret. When they commit a sin, they should regret what they did. And then they should do istighfar. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا And they do not continue in that sin. A person who sins and then goes back, they need to question. If they sin, ask Allah to forgive them and then immediately go back into that sin. They have to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, question themselves about the sincerity of that tawbah. Some of the ulama said that our tawbah is such that we need to ask Allah for forgiveness for the way we ask for forgiveness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ Those people who do that, جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ That for those people, indeed, they'll have forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَنَّةٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا That and a paradise whose rivers flow underneath, تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا Indeed, brothers and sisters, you know, subhanAllah, when Diana, when she passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving a lesson and she wasn't like some of the rock stars that may have died in the past or so on. She was someone that everybody used to love, including the Muslims. You'll see Muslim countries from the first people to ask Allah to forgive Diana. Everybody was sad for her death. She was young, she had wealth, she had beauty, she had all that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala snatched it away from her. She didn't die when she was 80 years old. She died in the midst of all that enjoyment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set the example for everyone who thinks that they're going to live forever and thinks that their wealth and their money is going to take them to somewhere. Who, with the entire world mourning for her death, who went into her grave with her? Who went to stop her from the angels of death? And who went to answer the questions on their behalf? The entire world loved her, but still nobody could help her in her grave. And as one of the ulama said, that I know that I see people dying in front of me, and when they die, their money goes back, and their friends go back, and everything goes back, and the only thing that goes into the grave with them is their amal, is their deeds. Is their deeds, that's the only thing that's going in their pockets in the grave. And it's the only thing that's going to stand between them and hellfire. And he said, so I made my best friend my good deeds. I made my best friend my amal salih. He said, my good deeds, because I know it's the only person who's not going to leave me in my grave. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent the prophets and He sent the books and He sent He sent the reminders in every single night. And it's not just in Ramadan, and it's not just in Laylatul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to as-sama' al-dunya bima yaliqu bi jalalihi wa 'azimi sultani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down every night in the third portion of the night, and He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, hal min da'in fa astajibu lah. Said, is there anyone who is going to make dua to me so that I will answer his dua? هَلْ مِن مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ. Is there anybody who's going to ask for forgiveness so that I will forgive them? And subhanAllah, if you hear the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدٍ. Don't be happy with your tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with your tawbah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the person puts his hand out to Allah, Allah puts an arm's length out. And when that person comes walking back to Allah, Allah comes running to the person. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam setting the example of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with a person's tawbah, with his slave's tawbah, is like that man who lost his camel in the desert, and now he has no hope of living anymore. And so he puts down and sits down and just looks to the sky waiting to die. And then he opens his eyes and his camel is there in front of him. And then from all his happiness, he says, oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord. He made the mistake from the extreme of happiness. The Prophet ﷺ said, wallahi, that Allah is more happy with the tawbah of his slave than this person seeing that he's going to have life again. So dear brothers and sisters, you will see the events that are happening in Palestine. And so many times we see the ideals. People want to go for jihad and people want to do this and they want to do that. But when they say that let's make dua for our brothers, you'll see people, maybe just in the masjid, but when they go home, how many people wake up in the morning to make dua for the brothers in Palestine? Or make dua for the brothers in Shishan? And shaitan, if he wants to stop you from doing something, he may take you, this is one of the tricks, to an ideal that you're not going to realize. Because you can't do the pebbles, so don't think about the mountain. Shaitan will take you, and just like if someone's child is in the hospital, they're going to have an operation, the parent is there in the interfaith church downstairs making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night long. And that the ummah is one body, how many of us feel that pain? How many of us shut off the football game so that we can raise our hands and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You will see people, and I may give lectures to other adults that may be 15, 60 years old, and there are people that have reached that stage in their life and have never memorized Surah Al-Bayyinah. لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ Surah Al-Bayyinah. And by Allah, if they sat down, they could memorize it in 20 minutes. But 60 years of their life, they never sat down to memorize it. And this is the Qur'an, Kalamullah, that's going to bring life to this ummah, and our youth don't know how to read the Qur'an. They don't know how to read it in Arabic, and on top of that, they have no understanding of the Arabic language. Nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down, and I think everybody read that article that after Ramadan, after when all the Muslims were praying for our brothers in Shishan, and after Ramadan, everybody dropped their hands and nobody made dua for them anymore. They sent an email out to everybody, and I'm sure you've read it. They said, brothers, why have you stopped making dua for us? How did they know that we didn't make dua for them anymore? They said, wallahi, we could feel the power of the dua of the entire ummah for us in our jihad. And they could tell that this was Ramadan, and people were crying in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were feeling it, and they were winning battles on that war because the Muslims hadn't forgotten them in their dua. And so don't let anybody belittle the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pray for your brothers. And if you can, and if we can, raise our hands in the middle of the night to cry over our own sins and to cry for our brothers, then believe me, someone like that shouldn't be thinking about going for jihad and claiming that when the call for jihad is, when the call to death is in my face, I'm going to run into it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke after the battle of Badr, the people, and they saw the battle and the fight, and then they wanted to go for jihad like the people had gone for Badr, and then in the battle of Uhud, they saw death, and people ran away. and Allah forgave them. But they ran away during the battle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُ. They said, before this, you used to want death, you want to go for jihad, you want to die. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. So Allah brought death to right in front of your face. That Allah brought that army right to your face and the Muslims turned back. How many people indeed, when the call for jihad stands up, all those people that are claiming that we're going to get up for jihad, that if they can't get up for Fajr in the morning, then how do they know for certain that when the call for jihad comes, that they're going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that faridah and not answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the faridah of al-Fajr. InshaAllah, tonight, we'd like to make a pledge that not putting on our alarm for a wrestling match is going to be on at night, but put your alarm on for 2 o'clock. InshaAllah, all of us, put your alarm on for 2 o'clock in the morning and let's all get up tonight just to pray 2 rak'ahs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not 10 rak'ahs and not 12, just 2 rak'ahs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you're in sajda, remember just one sin between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you for that one sin. Just one sin in one sajda, and insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with my return and your return to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا.